This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
At a time when the value of medicines is a hot topic among all stakeholders in the healthcare environment, the role of medical information professionals is becoming far more visible and significant than in the past, and not only in a few major markets. In November 2018, for example, DIA held its first Latin American Medical Information and Communication Workshop in São Paulo, Brazil. On the agenda were topics aligned with the daily work and challenges of medical information and communication professionals in that region, including successes and best practices in medical information and contact center departments, and local as well as regional and global approaches. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum. Today, my guests are two experts who led this important discussion at the DIA workshop. Barbara Nardi, who is the Associate Director of Medical Communications at PPD Brazil, is with us today. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we also have Emanuela Lopez Fernandez Saraiva, who works in customer service and is the Medical Information Manager and Pharmacovigilance Manager at Libs Farmacêutica in Brazil. Emanuela, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to talk to you about this important topic.
Barbara, let me ask you first, in just a few words, what are the main responsibilities of medical information and communication professionals and contact center departments, and specifically in Latin America?
The point is here that, as we're doing all over the world, the idea is to give the information about drugs and about the products that we handle with quality. But specifically in Latin America, our role is really important because sometimes we work together with the healthcare system to provide a good quality of information to the patients. So this is very specific.
And this information goes to patients as well as healthcare providers and perhaps others in Latin America?
Yeah, we receive the different types of clients to contact us, but the patients have heavy weight to us here in Latin America.
Emanuela, what is your point of view on this question?
I agree with Barbara completely. The main responsibility of medical information professional is the critical evaluation of the literature, transforming complex scientific information into content that can be clearly understood and that adds value to the clients. For me, that's very important.
And Emanuela, who do you consider to be your clients? You are in a pharmaceutical company, so you mentioned the word clients. Who are your clients?
My clients can be a consumer, a healthcare professional, for example, a physician, a pharmacist, a nurse, for example.
Barbara, let me come back to you. What are the most significant challenges that are facing medical information and contact center departments in Latin America?
One of the challenges that we have here is about recognition by other departments from pharmaceutical industry, because sometimes they do not recognize the importance of our department and the importance of the message and all information that we collect from healthcare professionals, from patients. And one of the sessions discussed exactly this, how we can work with the design thinking and how can we build good reports for our internal clients as well.
This is a bit of a delicate question, but can you give us some sense of who doesn't see the value of medical information?
Sometimes the business areas, for example, like marketing, like commercial, they do not see that we can work as partners and can provide the information that they need, for example, to build promotional material or to give inputs on their marketing campaigns, because we know that the voice and the ears of the pharmaceutical company is within the call center. So that's where they should keep looking for more information and trying to understand what are the messages that the company is receiving.
So you mentioned that at the workshop, Barbara, some of these challenges were discussed. Did any new ideas emerge from those discussions?
We had a very good presentation of a real case scenario. This was one point very important of this workshop. We tried to bring a lot of real case, especially real case from Brazil, for share with people. And we had one case that one company showed how to create personas. They represent the clients that are contacting us. And they are using this to present internally to other departments in order to engage and help them on how to, you know, with product, how to solve problems of out-of-stock situations. So it was very nice, this conversation, and people enjoying it a lot.
Emanuela, along the same lines, what did you hear at the conference about these challenges? First of all, do you agree that these challenges exist, as Barbara described them, and were they discussed at the conference?
A big challenge that we have is capture patient voice and needs and promote the patient-centric culture at the core of the business model. So I think that when we have to think in the patient, we have to think in the patient to bring value to the company so we can capture the needs of the patient because we have the direct contact kind of client. So this is a way that we have to show the value of the medical information department to all the company. So I think this is a big challenge. And another point that I'd like to consider as a big challenge also is to provide product and disease information to the patients in compliance with the related regulation here in Brazil, because we have some different topics from regulation topics, different from United States. So we can't talk with the patient about brand, for example, of a medicine. So that's a big challenge for us too.
One of the topics discussed at the workshop was the role of medical information and communication professionals in creating a good experience for patients when they interact with companies. So, Manuela, you just mentioned capturing the voice of the patient and patient centricity. What topics emerged from the workshop that could help patients have a really good experience with pharmaceutical companies?
When the patient calls to a company, a pharmaceutical company, he probably has a problem. He's using a medicine and he has doubts. But besides his doubts, he has all a different scenario behind the situation. So the medical information professional must consider all the needs of the patient, all his fears, all the situation that he's facing besides of the doubts of the medicine, for example. So empathy was a big topic that we discussed in the workshop. I think we have to consider the empathy to treat our patient when he calls us.
Was there a discussion about perhaps regional differences across Latin America, which is a huge region? We can think of it as going from Mexico down to Brazil, Argentina, Chile, and there will be differences in social structure, socioeconomic status, and many other differences. Does the approach of medical information and communication professionals have to adapt to local realities in some ways when showing empathy or when responding to patient needs and creating that sense of comfort in patients who really are in many, many different, very diverse countries?
We don't discuss about difference among the countries in Latin America, but I can consider this in Brazil that we have a big country, as inside our country we have a different region. For example, Northeast is very different from South, so the level of comprehension of these patients is very different. We must have a level of transparency and empathy with all of our clients to give them the best information about our products.
Barbara, what is your point of view on this very important topic of empathy and perhaps regional or also intra-country differences?
I work as a regional resource here in my company, and we work this a lot because, for example, if, as Emanuela said, Brazil is a big country with a lot of Brazils inside this. But if you look for Latin America, some small, some bigger, and we have a lot of difference on the language and the dialectics that can have a big difference for the patient, because sometimes you have people work from a hub and attending different countries. So it's very important to consider the difference and the specificity of each country on what you should talk to the people, what they are expecting, and what are the characteristics. So this is very important to consider because it's a big region, but with a lot of different countries with different culture here.
Obviously, we're talking about really the topic of patient centricity and having patient-centric activities and support services for patients, which is linked to another topic, and that is health literacy and how medical information about medicines is communicated to patients in a way that can be clearly understood. Was this a topic at the workshop at all, the topic of health literacy and how to have communications that are clear and effective? Emanuela, perhaps you first.
A good example that we had was a woman who had problem to find a specific product of the company. So this company that sent us this case showed us an example to identify the needs of each one of the clients, of the consumers, and show these to the company in order to bring a better result to this client. So I think this is an empathic way to treat different kinds of clients that has the same trouble, the same problem. I think this is a good example.
Barbara, what about this issue of health literacy? Is there a need to adapt the written or oral communications with patients to socioeconomic level, educational level? And if so, was there any discussion of practical ways to do that during the recent workshop?
We had a very good example there because one of the speakers was a physician. She was an oncologist and she was also a patient. So it was a very rich discussion about this because she had the two point of views of the contact with the pharmaceutical industry. And what she referred is that sometimes when I put my shoes as a patient, I do not understand or I do not know how to go to the pharmaceutical industry to receive the information that I need. So it was a very good exercise for us to see that maybe we are doing the things, thinking that we are doing the right thing, but in the end, we are not addressing right for the public that we are trying to reach.
So is a potential action item the need to speak to patients or listen to patients more diligently in the future, maybe have more contacts with groups of patients who can explain their challenges? Did this come out of the workshop or maybe some other action item?
Yeah, this was one of the discussions because the session was about compliance. So we were discussing how to talk to these patients, but keeping under compliance that we do not want to jeopardize the relation between the healthcare professional and the patient. So we had a very good discussion on this, and we all took this as a homework on how to find this way to do this.
In that context, did any best practices emerge from the workshop? Emanuela, did you hear anything about best practices?
Yes. I think that the attendees were very excited about all the topics that were presented, but they feel a little bit afraid of regulatory topics because, for example, patients must be educated about the disease, about the medicine that he uses. But here in Brazil, we have some regulation points that, for example, a pharmaceutical company can't do an active contact with the patient to treat about medicine that is not an over-the-counter medicine. So I think that the attendees brought us a lot of doubts about that. And this is a big challenge here in Brazil, I think.
Barbara, did you hear any best practices that stayed in your mind and impressed you?
We had also an MSL presenting her point of view because she is...
Medical science liaison.
Yeah, she was telling us which are the challenges that she has and how our department, how medical information can help them on how to provide. And also on the other side, how can she get the feedback from the healthcare professionals to give us in order to enhance our day-to-day activities. So it was a very nice discussion.
Final topic, technology. Barbara, I'll ask you first, and then I want to hear from Manuela as well. How can new technologies help pharmaceutical companies provide medical information in the most appropriate way to patients and healthcare professionals, including their doctors?
One thing that is very important for us to consider is that we need to be where our clients are. And everyone is on using new technologies. Everyone is using internet more than telephone. So we need to move, and it's not something that we may consider. We will need to move for this. And as soon as we get there, we need to understand how to interact with them. Because, of course, we know that new technologies can open a world that we are not allowed to enter. For example, if we go to the social media, you will face a lot of patient disclosing their information and all of this. So it's very important for us. We are starting entering on this to know the limits, taking into account that we need to be there because our clients are all there.
In other words, there is no choice but to use technology these days, including in medical information.
Exactly.
Emanuela, can you think of an example of using a very advanced technology these days in the world of medical information?
So we discussed it in the workshop that pharmaceutical companies have many opportunities to use new technologies. For example, chatbots can be used to provide medical information to patients and healthcare professionals. A company can develop a particular bot to answer all types of patient questions about specific products. However, for chatbots in healthcare, we must be aware of the fact that we are in a highly regulated industry, and we must ensure that our chatbots comply. So they must be compliant to ensure the patient's personal information is received and is stored in the most secure ways possible. This also includes how chatbots would handle reporting of adverse events. And another point that we have to consider is data privacy. A company that was there in the day of the workshop told us that would begin to deal with a chatbot to customer service. So I think it's very, very interesting, and I am excited to see the results in the next workshop next year.
So the workshop will be an annual event, you expect?
Yes.
Well, that is the end of our conversation. I want to thank you both for your thoughts and for sharing your experiences from your regular jobs as well as from the workshop. Barbara, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Emanuela, thanks to you as well. For DIA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.